Portage Health Foundation is excited to announce six projects sharing more than $105,000 in investments, covering a wide range of improvements to recreational opportunities in Michigan's Copper Country. Projects include accessibility upgrades to Second Sands Beach in Lawns Township, a new groomer for Adventure Mountain, new signage for QAnon Nordic Ski Club, an outdoor ice rink that will launch this winter at Horizon School, recently completed trail upgrades in Copper Harbor, and site updates to Camp Josh in Onondaga County. Learn more at phfgive.org.
And we're back with segment two of Copper Country Today on this Sunday morning. I'm Todd Van Dyke. We're brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Learn more about them at phfgive.org. Junior hockey is back in the region. The Wisconsin Windigo will begin playing this winter at the arena down in Eagle River in Wisconsin. The head coach is somebody who's very familiar to us here in the Copper Country, Blake Hintla, and he joins me to talk about hockey this morning, junior hockey, and what this Wisconsin Windigo is and what it might mean for us and for hockey players here in the Copper Country. So, Blake, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Let's start with your background. For those who are not aware, your roots are here, aren't they?
Yep. Grew up in Houghton. Born and raised. Fortunate enough to play at Michigan Tech, and then kind of been bouncing around the hockey world since then.
Yeah, what have you been doing since then? You were most recently, I think, with the Green Bay Gamblers team.
Yep. So graduated from Tech in 2015 and played 2 years of pro following that, and then got into the coaching world. I did a year in Madison in the USHL, and then 4 years in Green Bay in the USHL. Those were all as assistant coach, and this will be my first head coaching job in junior hockey.
Now, what is the USHL?
So USHL is the only Tier 1 Junior A hockey league in the world. I think it's the best junior league in the world. It's leads junior leagues and NHL draft picks every year. 99% of the players move on to play Division I college hockey. So it's basically the top development league in the world.
So let's talk about this hierarchy and this structure for hockey, because it's something, as many years as I've been close to hockey, I'm not sure I've ever really quite understood. And I'm sure there are a lot of other people who are a little bit mystified about how this works as well. Most high school sports, youth sports, are pretty darn simple. Kids pick it up in middle school. They play for their high school team. If they're good enough, they get a scholarship maybe to go on to college. Hockey tends not to work that way, does it?
Correct. And I couldn't tell you the origin of the junior hockey system, but I can tell you that most kids that end up playing college hockey do spend a little bit of time in juniors.
Does that start when they're in high school for most of them, or do they get into that after they've graduated?
It's a mix. Speaking from my own experience, my senior year of high school, I played junior hockey, and then I played 2 years after high school as well. Then you'll have some kids that maybe they only play their senior year of high school or a senior year of junior hockey and then ready for college. Some kids will play their high school career at their local high school or their youth midget program and then play junior hockey after. So it's a little bit of a sliding scale. Kind of depends on each individual kid's development, but the age group is 16 to 20, so it's definitely a big gap, and you really see all different types of players and people come through the process.
I suppose it also depends on what hockey availabilities exist in the area where that young man is growing up, because unlike football or basketball, there are some pretty huge areas of the country that don't have much hockey for high school age kids.
For sure. You'll see in hockey, kids are having to leave home at an earlier age than a lot of other sports. And like you said, a lot of that depends on where they grew up and what opportunities they have.
Why did you decide to go into the junior hockey your final year of high school? What drove your decision?
For me, I felt like it was just the right time for a new challenge and a new opportunity to develop and try to become a college hockey player. I felt like I had kind of done all there was where I was at before, and I felt like I was ready for a new challenge.
From the college side, because of course you skated at Michigan Tech, the college side, do those coaches look to recruit more out of the junior leagues than out of the high school teams?
I think so. Yeah. Like, you know, we'll start the season here middle of September with the North American League Showcase. It's basically our whole league comes together for 4 or 5 days, and every college in the country is going to be there watching us. So I think our league does a really good job of marketing our players to colleges. And, you know, I think college recognizes that, you know, it's a pretty good league, and it's good at showing, okay, this kid's ready to make the jump.
Is there a competition, so to speak, or are there sometimes little hard feelings, perhaps between the high school programs and the junior programs, where all of a sudden your high school team has a good player and he's not on the team anymore?
that has happened in the past. And again, that kind of goes region by region. Minnesota high schools, typically more kids will stay through their high school career regardless of whether they're ready to make the jump or not. And then there's some areas where, you know, high school hockey is a little less, I don't know what the word for it would be, but it's just, you know, not as highly thought of. And those kids are, you know, when they're ready to make the jump, typically those kids leave. And some coaches get it and support it, and some coaches are fight it a little bit. So I think it's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, I grew up in Southwest Michigan, and many years ago when I was in high school, hockey simply wasn't a thing. I never skated hockey, and I lived on a lake. It was frozen all winter. I skated, you know, hours and hours and hours, but my friends and I, hockey just wasn't on our radar at all. And so if there had been somebody in town, they would have had to go out to one of these other teams. Now there are at least teams down there, high school teams. They're not terribly highly regarded out of Southwest Michigan yet, but at least there are opportunities there. And I suppose particularly if you get into some of the southern states, you know, high school hockey is just probably not much of a thing in Tennessee.
that's for sure.
So this costs money if you're going to go out and play in a junior league. Does this cost your family money?
No, so we're tier two. The North American League is the only USA Hockey sanctioned tier two league in the country. So the only cost that a player will incur here is a stipend that goes to his host family. So the hockey side of it's free. There's no tuition there. The only cost would be, you know, living costs, and our kids will live with billet families in the area, which is a cool and unique system.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Tier 1 league, Tier 2 league. What's the difference?
Yep. So I'd have to bring up the definition of Tier 1, but Tier 1, essentially, kids aren't paying for anything, not even the billet fee. It's, you know, fully, I don't want to say scholarship, but, you know, you're there to play hockey, and the organizations take care of every bit of it. You know, we're Tier 2. We do incur the billet fee cost, and then we provide almost all equipment outside of skates. So it's that would essentially be the hierarchy there.
All right. Now, this club that you're going to be the head coach of, the Wisconsin Wendigo, this was an existing team that was in Minnesota before and now has relocated. What brought that about?
So the new ownership group purchased the team in Minnesota, wanted to get move that team somewhere, Copper Country, northern Wisconsin, somewhere in that hockey region, and kind of settled on Eagle River. And yeah, that's, you know, the ownership group consists of four guys. David Rowe, of, I think, originally Calumet, but resides in Dollar Bay or Houghton. John Rockwell, who played at Michigan Tech, so he's got some roots up there as well.
Sure.
And then there's an Eagle River connection, and then somebody from the Traverse City area as well. So there's ties to the Copper Country and the Northwoods there. So I think that's why they ultimately settled where they did.
And we should mention before I let this get away from me that your team, as we broadcast this on Sunday, you're getting ready to open training camp in Houghton.
Yeah. It's I think it'll be cool for our guys. We're going to spend 10 days at the STC there. You know, our ice doesn't go in the Eagle River till the 1st, and you know, we wanted to start a little bit earlier than that, so we're fortunate enough to, you know, use our connections up there to, you know, we're going to spend 10 days there at a Division I facility, and obviously late August is an unbelievable time of year in the Copper Country, so I think our guys are fortunate and going to enjoy it.
What is that going to be like for you going back to that rink where you spent so much time as a player and now you're going to be in charge?
it'll be good. I think a lot's changed there since I've been around. So the guys will probably be looking at me as I'm like looking around and trying to come up with these memories, and they'll probably be looking at me like I'm a weirdo, but I'm excited to get back there. Obviously I try to get back there as much as I can, and with our coaching schedule it's not easy, so for me to get us to go up there and spend 10 days, I'm looking forward to it.
Talking with Blake Hetla, he is the head coach of the I hesitate to call it new because I mentioned it's an existing franchise that's moving in, but it's new to the region, the Wisconsin Windigo hockey team. Where do the players on this team now come from? I've read that you had a whole ton of them go to your tryouts.
Yeah, we had a good turnout at our tryout camp. Kids are going to come from all over the world. With the Magicians being right in the cities last year, they did a lot of recruiting with Metro Twin Cities players. So we'll have a handful of those guys. But we were trying to expand our footprint a little bit. And, you know, we've got a few kids from Michigan. We've got a couple kids from Colorado, a couple Wisconsin kids right now. Like I mentioned, the Twin Cities kids. And then we've actually we've got one Canadian and then two Swedes and two Finns will be starting the year with us. So it's kind of all over the world.
Does that present a cultural challenge, talking, you know, dealing with young men who are coming in who may not speak English terribly well and have grown up in a completely different environment?
There will be a little bit of an adjustment for those guys. Fortunately, all of them speak pretty good English, so that side of it's going to be easy. But obviously, coming to a new country and kind of learning a new culture is, you know, it could definitely be an adjustment for them. But I think at the end of the day, once we're on the ice, that side of it just takes over.
What is going to happen now at your training camp? Pretty much the same as any training camp, work on fundamentals, try to get a game plan together?
Yeah, we'll be on the ice a couple times a day. We're going to get a workout in between that. So for us, it's really trying to nail down how we want to play, implementing some systems, going through that way and making sure that our habits and details of what we want to do are locked in. And then at the same time, it's still a little bit of a tryout. We're going to start with 31 guys, and we've got to get down to 24 within a few weeks. So there's a little bit of a tryout element to that as well, but you know, we're getting ready to play regular season games.
And they're going to be staying, your players, and it's probably a little bit late to bring this up. We did mention it on a sportscast a few days ago when got the first notification about it, but you were looking for host families for the kids to stay with while they were here. Did you find enough?
Yep. Players will be staying with local host families kind of all over the Copper Country. We've got some, as you know, Lorium and Bootjack and a handful in Houghton and Hancock. So I think it'll be cool for the people of the area to get to spend some time around kids like this, and it'll be cool for our kids to, you know, experience 10 days in the Copper Country.
I suspect that many of them have probably, even though they're steeped in hockey for many, many years, they've probably never been to an area like this that is itself so steeped in hockey history.
Yeah, I think most of them probably haven't been to somewhere like the Copper Country, but you know, we're going to try to make it a good experience outside of the hockey side of it. We're going to hopefully do a couple things as a team and get out and hopefully get on the water. And you know, obviously, it's a beautiful area in August, so try to showcase that for them as well.
Going to take them up to the Coliseum and run them through the D and things like that, give them a little sense of hockey history and such.
Here. We'll have to try to come up with something like that, a hockey in the Copper Country tour or something. We'll see if we've got time.
So is there going to be opportunity for hockey fans in the Copper Country to see your kids either working out or a scrimmage or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think doors will be open during our practice time, so anybody's welcome to come out. Still trying to sort out right now, so we will have one or two of those will be designated scrimmages, and we're trying to sort out right now how we're going to do that, if we're going to market it at all, or if we're just going to, you know, do it as a team building and, you know, build our roster kind of opportunity.
You mentioned that these kids are coming from all over. Is there anybody with a regional background that we might be rooting for here?
Well, we've got Braden Grange is coming to training camp with us. He's from Marquette. Zach Millett is from Eagle River. So those are probably the two closest local guys. And then, like I said, we've got some guys from the Twin Cities and a couple other spots in Wisconsin, and then the Euros and a couple of downstate Michigan guys as well.
Will the recruiting focus kind of shift with the relocation of the team? You mentioned that they had done a lot of recruiting over in the Minnesota area because that's where they were located before. Will there, over the next few years, as the team hopefully is successful, will there be more of a recruiting focus here in this region?
Yeah, I think with the move, we're trying to be good, in our backyards in the recruiting side of it. So we still want to be good in Minnesota, but we'd like to make sure we're doing our homework in Wisconsin. And then, with myself and the ownership group having ties to the Copper Country, I'd love to be able to give kids opportunities up there to advance their hockey careers as well.
So, Blake Yedlo, suppose I was a high school player, and at least I think I'm pretty good. Maybe some others have told me that I'm pretty good. How do I know when I have reached the point that I might need to make the jump out of my high school team into junior hockey? And if I'm a parent, how do I help with that call?
It's really a case-by-case situation. Maturity is a big part of it. I know a lot of kids aren't ready to leave high school. And to be fair, you don't always have to. There's still kids that are going to be able to play through their high school careers and have 2 to 3 years of junior eligibility left to be able to go and develop and hopefully become a college player. So I think it's definitely a case-by-case basis. And like I said, a lot of it's maturity, and some of it is just when you know. So it is just a case-by-case.
For those students who do like you did, well, what did you do? Your senior year in high school, you weren't at Houghton anymore. How did you complete your high school education?
So I went to play for the Bismarck Bobcats in the North American League, and that's Bismarck, North Dakota. So I actually attended Bismarck High School, and it was a little chaotic because we had practice in the morning. So I would go to class for an hour, run over to the rink, practice, and then I'd go back to school, and I think I was at school for like about 5 hours a day total. But it was tough. Like I said, maturity is a big part of this. So there's kids that aren't ready to make that jump, even the outside of the hockey part. But our kids, I think right now we don't have any high school kids. We're a little bit of an older roster this year, and that kind of skews year to year. But we're a little bit older right now, so we won't have to worry about that side of it. But we're going to give kids the option of doing online school as well. When I was in Green Bay, pre-COVID, kids had the option of going to Ashwaubenon High School right down the road, or using one of a couple online schools that we've used in the past. And then after COVID, all of our kids were in online school. So I would have study halls for them and make sure they're getting their homework done. So it's kind of a case by case and a situational thing.
Now, you mentioned the ownership group. There are four owners of this, a couple of them with local roots, one who played at Michigan Tech and one who is the managing owner who lives here in the area. What's in it for them buying a team like this? Is this a profit-making enterprise, or is this something you do for the sake of sport?
I would say more the latter. I think the number of teams that actually make money at the end of the day is probably few. But what I do know is that our whole group is passionate about hockey, and they want to give kids the opportunity to advance and develop. So that's kind of their goal, is they want to give players and coaches, like I'm fortunate to have this job, and their goal for me is to come in here and do a good job and, hopefully move me up the ladder, same as just our players.
Do you have that goal? Would you like to be coach at a higher level, college, professional at some point?
For sure. Yeah. I probably, when I got into this, I probably had a path that I envisioned, and I've kind of learned to, take it year by year. And, I think at the end of the day, I want to coach as high as I can and as high as somebody will let me.
Does that get into kind of a pressure situation where the higher you get, the more pressure is on you to produce?
Yeah, I think there's always pressure in this sport, especially when you're doing it for a living. So I think so, but I think at the end of the day, you kind of just focus on doing your job and try to get a good group of kids that buy into what we're trying to do. And I think hopefully the success side of it takes care of itself.
How do you balance the various missions that you have? I mean, on one side, you've got a mission of you need to teach these kids to play better hockey. They need to become better hockey players. On the other hand, you obviously want to win because that's going to draw fans to your building. It's going to help with the finances. How do you balance that need to give everybody perhaps some playing time and some experience, and on the other hand, the need to make sure you've always got your best skaters available on the ice?
Yeah, I think at least with our organization, we've kind of talked a lot about making this a really good place to develop, and that's going to be our main goal. And I think in my mind, if we get the right players in here that buy into, okay, I'm here to get better every day, if we get those kids in here and we do our jobs and help them get better, then I think the wins and losses side of it eventually will just take care of itself. So we're really trying to build a culture of development and kind of from the top down.
And I suppose that if you start producing players who are getting scholarships at good hockey colleges, I suppose that cements a reputation and makes you a desirable place for young players to go.
Yep. Like you said, it's a little bit of a snowball effect. So we're going to try to do a really good job in year one here, and you know, hopefully it starts to get easier and easier after that.
Is part of what you do then developing relationships with the coaching staffs at college programs in the area, Michigan Tech, Wisconsin, the various schools around? We have a lot of them. Do you reach out to them and remind them that you're there and you have kids?
Yeah. The relationship side of it's actually huge. When I was an assistant in Green Bay, part of my responsibilities were scouting and recruiting, and that side of it is a lot of it is just keeping in touch with the college coaches because they've got younger college commits that are going to need places to play and stuff like that. So definitely the relationship side of it's huge, and it's a little bit of a two-way street. Like, you know, I'll be reaching out to colleges on, you know, our players' behalf, but at the same time, there's a lot of these guys that are calling me every other week and just checking in on a couple of guys and seeing how they're doing. So it's a little bit of a two-way street, but the relationship side of it's huge.
Now, you're going to be playing your regular season games at the Dome down in Eagle River, which is a bit of a drive from here, but not unmanageable. Folks could make the drive down to see. How do people find out when you're playing? Do you have a website that's going to be online that they can see the schedule?
Yep. Our website is wisconsinjuniorhockey.com, and then the league's website is NAHL.com, which, you know, they've kind of got everything there, so you'll be able to see the schedule and see when we're at home.
And I'll confess it was a loaded question because I've been to the website, and it's really very good and very informative. So it was easy to get around. If you're interested in seeing the team or learning more about the team, you certainly can go there and find out. The Dome is quite the historic building in and of itself down there in Eagle River, is it not?
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm excited to see what it's like when we get some people in the building because everybody that talks about it just talks about what an unbelievable atmosphere it is. But, you know, I've been in there a handful of times this summer and there's no ice. So I'm looking forward to, you know, September and getting some people in there and getting the ice in the building.
And of course, the Portage Lake Pioneers and the Calumet Wolverines play there on a regular basis against the Eagle River Falcons in the GLHL.
Yep.
So they're certainly familiar with it. Is that an undersized rink?
The sheet itself is not anymore. I believe 4 or 5 years ago it was, but in the last handful of years, they redid the boards and glass and made it regulation size.
Okay, that's got to be a help in developing kids with a program like yours, because I suppose that there are people who want to make sure that you're skating on the same size ice as everybody else.
Yeah, and it can vary a little bit. I know in our division, there's a couple of Olympic-sized sheets, but obviously you don't want anything that's terribly small.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year, I suspect, and I hope it's a very successful year for the new Wisconsin Windigo, which will be based out of Eagle River, Wisconsin, but are going to be working out at the John McKenna Student Ice Arena this week as part of their spring training program. Blake Yedlow, the coach, and of course, former Michigan Tech hockey player and Houghton native, great to see you making advances in the business, and I wish you and the team great success. Thanks for your time on Copper Country Today.
Thank you, Todd, for having me.